The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and I want to say thank you so much to all of my amazing listeners. All of you guys are so great, and we just got word that the Jenna Ellis Show is tied for second for the most popular podcast on the Salem Podcast Network with my good friend Dinesh D'Souza. Of course, Charlie Kirk is first, and we all love Charlie, so we're going to get there. So I think that you guys, you know, can maybe put me a little bit closer to Charlie because, you know, we need to give him a run for his money, but thank you all so much for being loyal, faithful listeners to this show, because that tells me not only do you want to have an understanding of politics and our culture from a Christian worldview perspective, but you are not afraid to hear and interact with and listen to and debate and discuss the cultural issues from a standpoint of truth. We need to be separating truth from fiction, and we also need to be able to have a reason to stand up for the hope that lies within us as Christians who understand that the truth of the gospel of Christ is why we are engaged in these cultural and political battles. So today is no different podcast from any of that, because today we're going to address a very, very controversial topic that I know is going to just absolutely have the left screaming at the sky. And welcome to the leftists who are also faithful listeners of this show, even if they just want to troll me afterwards. I love the fact that you guys are here listening to the truth and you're having to confront all of these issues. I love it. Continue to listen. Thanks so much. So today we are going to talk about the Colorado Springs shooting. To dispense with all of the obvious, but I think that we need to state the obvious, is that, of course, this shooting, as I'm sure all of you were aware, happened at an LGBTQ-friendly nightclub. It reminded me, of course, of the Pulse nightclub shooting out in California back several years ago in the height of the conversation around the Obergefell versus Hobbs decision that happened that same year. And the whole context of how do Christians stand firm in first rejecting the lie that we are happy that any of these types of mass shootings happen ever, but we can still stand firm for our rights under the Second Amendment, and we can still stand firm for the fact that we disagree vehemently with the lie of transgenderism and the lie that marriage can be redefined as anything else besides one man and one woman created in the image of God, and that God himself is the one who designed and created the institution of marriage. We can, of course, say that any unjustified homicide, any killings that are not otherwise justified, like self-defense, for example, the law gives some justification for human killing. But any unjustified murder is tragic, it is morally wrong, it is evil. But the same evil that was perpetuated against the victims of the Colorado Springs nightclub is the exact same disgusting, morally evil perpetuated against victims every day who are unborn children in the womb. And if we cannot reconcile the fact that this is not about politics, this is about every human being is made in the image of God and has inherent dignity and worth, then what are we doing? We need to stand up against the leftist lie that somehow Christians are saying it's fine to kill and murder or have hate crimes perpetuated in any way, shape, or form against people whose values and lifestyles we disagree with, just as much as we are pro-life advocates for children in the womb. It is the left who are hypocrites because they are valuing and putting more value on someone who is a person who's choosing a transgender lifestyle than they are an innocent child in the womb. That is the hypocrisy. That is not valuing human life. That is wrong and morally evil. So to join me to continue this conversation and how the left is trying to create this false narrative against standing firm that every human being, regardless of their sin, regardless of their lifestyle, has moral dignity and inherent worth as a human being created in the image of God. And yet we as Christians can still call out their lifestyle, call out their sin while still saying what happened to them is tragic. So joining me now to discuss all of that is my very good friend and a great friend of this show. And I'm like his new biggest fan, by the way, is Pastor John Amanchukwu, who I'm getting better at saying all of that. And John, you know, I love that you are joining me for this conversation because as we discussed moments before the show, you stand up for truth. You are willing to unabashedly talk about the truth of the gospel of Christ, no matter what comes against you, no matter what lies are perpetuated. So thank you for joining me for this very controversial discussion.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Jenna. It's a blessing to be with you. I don't view these topics as controversial, although the left does, because they like to pigeonhole and label and smear people who support biblical truth and Christianity in particular. Today, Christianity is under attack. Let me repeat, Christianity is under attack. You can be a Muslim and have someone say something negative about your faith and you will get canceled. You can be Jewish and someone says something negative about your faith, or they say something condescending and that individual may get canceled. But if you are a Christian, you will be the doormat for society. People will trample on you, and people won't get canceled or deplatformed if you come against a Christian. And that should change. I believe that this nation that we call America was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And we must keep in mind that the Marxists and the socialists and the communists that are coming for our rights and freedoms, many of them hate Christianity.
Yeah, that's so well said. And the current prominent example is what we're seeing in the aftermath of this horrible shooting, where so many of the prominent influencers on the left are now blaming Christians. I saw a tweet that was so ridiculous that said, if I want to go into a gay nightclub, the highest, something like, you know, the highest form of concern that I need to have is that a Christian with a gun will follow me in there. There's absolutely no evidence at this point that the shooter of Club Q was in any way a member of Christianity, was motivated because of any sort of misplaced Christian values that would lead them to falsely think that shooting up a nightclub is okay. But yet this is directly where the left goes. And the timing here to me is very suspicious to say, okay, you have someone that the Colorado red flag laws, which I think are unconstitutional anyway. And if you, by the way, for listeners, if you want to hear my whole discussion on that, there's a podcast I did a couple months ago about why red flag laws are wholly unconstitutional. But in the sense that the left is even trying to purport that that those need to be passed in all the states, Colorado has one. Colorado is my home state. I have vehemently objected to that, you know, said that on a lot of local media as well. But the red flag laws that were designed to catch people before while they, you know, manifest signs that they may go out and be these types of mass murderers or shooters, that didn't stop this individual. So what's going on, John, with this whole narrative that's suggesting that simply because the victims of this heinous crime happen to be LGBTQ people, that now suddenly, first, Christians are to blame, which we're not, or second, that we can't now talk about why we disagree with the LGBTQ lifestyle and agenda. Otherwise, we're transphobic and we're somehow agreeing with or saying that it was okay what happened, which of course no one is.
Right. You know, when you devalue life in the womb, you conversely devalue life outside of the womb. America has become quite barbaric in this nation. That we think that because of the size of a human being, whether they are a zygote or whether they are a fetus or a baby in the mother's womb, that you should have the right to abort that child. But that same child, if killed outside of the womb, that's labeled as murder. The Bible is clear on killing the innocent and those who exist. It says in Exodus 20 and 13, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 references seven things that God hates, one of which is the shedding of innocent blood. And so, yes, we have devalued life. So therefore, life is going to be devalued, period. The most unsafe place for a baby today is in the womb of its mother. And with this in mind, yes, people are going to devalue life in a club. But at the end of the day, we can stand for life. Let that be a separate issue. But we can also talk about the grooming that's taken place in the public school system and the indoctrination that we're pushing upon children, the pornographic material that has crept into schools, the books and the sessions and the classes that are being pushed upon our kids. These things need to end. And I'll say to you that the reason why I disagree with the homosexual lifestyle, not only does nature disagree with it, but God disagrees with it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. In other words, the women left from having a sexual desire for the men to now having a sexual desire for women. And that is against nature. Even the animal kingdom understands that in order to procreate, it takes a male dog and a female dog. But in society today, we are propping these things up as if they are good, but they are evil. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe to them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It's not good to kill the innocent or kill the unborn. And it's not good for a person to hold a lifestyle that's condescending to them and detrimental for them. One of the things that we rarely talk about when we talk about the LGBTQ agenda is the damage that it does to that individual's psyche, mentally, and physically. Many people who are of that persuasion and in that lifestyle, they deal with suicide and depression. The GLMA talks about this. It talks about the major side effects to an individual who is of that persuasion. And I'll say this as well, that your life is reduced. The lifespan of a male, homosexual male, is reduced by nearly 20 to 25 years. When I speak about these things, this is not because of hate. This is because of love. I love the homosexual. I love the transgender. I love the lesbian. I don't want them to experience depression and suicide and the potential of HIV and or monkeypox, right? I don't want them to experience these things. I want them to experience the fullness of life separate and apart from this sexual deviant lifestyle. But when I talk like this, we are labeled as bigots and as homophobes. And listen, I am comfortable with the labels. You can attempt to tarnish my reputation, but I'm being a faithful Christian and a faithful minister to provide life for these individuals who have entered into what I call a death style. It's not a lifestyle. It's a death style.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook. You need to start your retirement account even if you're in your 20s or 30s. There is always a great time to protect your retirement and invest, just like you want to protect your health over the long term. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903. It's time to make your health great again as we get closer to the new year. For anyone looking to ignite your fat-burning metabolism, boost your energy, and transform how you look and feel, you must start taking care of your liver now. Your liver is your body's master detoxifier. It performs over 500 key functions in your body every day. It's responsible for cleansing and removing thousands of harmful toxins, man-made chemicals, alcohol, and dangerous food additives and preservatives. After decades of wear and tear, our livers slow down and become sluggish. And this is why so many of us struggle with weight gain and feeling tired all of the time. So fortunately, there is a simple, all-natural solution that I absolutely recommend. It's called Liver Health Formula. Liver Health Formula contains 12 powerful botanicals clinically proven to recharge and protect your liver at the cellular level. It also helps restore your liver's detoxifying abilities, boost your energy levels, and you can kick your natural metabolism into high gear. So Liver Health Formula is backed by science and approved by American doctors. Every bottle is also manufactured right here in America too. So as of right now, as a listener to the Jenna Ellis Show, you can try Liver Health Formula completely risk-free and receive 5 free gifts when you order today. First, you'll receive a free 30-day supply of nano-powered omega-3. This is a powerful blend of omega-3 fatty acids that supports a healthy heart and brain, with 4 times better absorption thanks to this special nano-delivery system. You'll also get 4 free ebooks to support every aspect of your health and longevity, regardless of your age. So go to getliverhelp.com/Jenna or call toll-free at 800-282-1757 to claim your risk-free supply of Liver Health Formula and all 5 bonus gifts. That's getliverhelp.com/Jenna or call 1-800-282-1757. You're covered by their 365-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing at all to risk. But supplies are limited, so head over to getliverhelp.com/Jenna or call toll-free 800-282-1757 now to order Liver Health Formula and get your 5 free bonus gifts. That's getliverhelp.com/Jenna or call 1-800-282-1757. You know, something that you said was incredibly important in that beautiful explanation of truth and how Christians do not accept or affirm a sinful lifestyle, not just simply because we believe that it's wrong or we don't agree with it and it's my truth and I think I have some kind of arbitrary moral condescension on what's best for you and your family. No, we believe in the right to make choices for yourself and your family, the right, as our founding fathers said, to pursue happiness. But yes, we have to contextualize that in that there are some wisdom decisions. And there are some things that are right versus wrong, regardless of who is making that decision. And the homosexual or the transgender lifestyle, or as you aptly put it, a death style, I like that you frame it that way. That's true. It is morally wrong, and it will lead to death, death of not only the body physically, but also of the soul and spirit. It does not lead you into a more full relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we're talking about this, you're right. It isn't because we hate anyone. It's because we love God and love the truth. And we want to share the joy and the happiness that can only come from living life in the way that human beings were designed to in a relationship with our Creator. And understanding, as my good friend Nancy Piercy so perfectly explained in her book, Love Thy Body. Everyone really needs to read this book because she talked about the dignity of the human body. And recognizing that God didn't make mistakes in terms of our gender, in terms of our time and place of birth, who our parents are. There are no mistakes. God didn't just accidentally assign you a wrong body and a wrong gender. And so in loving people and saying we want to recognize your humanity as made in the image of God is so completely adverse and contrary to what the leftists will say and what the leftists are doing in the context of this nightclub shooting. Because the other thing that you said that was so that I just want to underscore, John, is when you said that, you know, these are because we love all of our fellow humans, regardless of their lifestyle choices that are wrong or that we disagree with, regardless of their sin, we love them. And it grieves my heart to see that anyone would go into any public place or private individual's home and murder them regardless of who they are or regardless of their lifestyle. I am just as grieved at this nightclub shooting as I am with a church shooting. I mean, these are things that are heinous. They're just as morally evil. It doesn't matter the motivation. That, you know, may have legal impact in terms of the sentence or the charges for the shooter and the aggressor. But in terms of the moral evil, it's just as evil to go into a church and shoot people as it is to go into a gay nightclub and shoot people. And that's what the left does not want to recognize, that we recognize, is that these people who are choosing a morally bankrupt and corrupt lifestyle still have the same inherent dignity and worth as human beings made in the image of God. And that's why we will not affirm a lie, as the Colorado Springs Police Department did when they said, oh, somehow this is more respectful to these people to affirm their chosen pronouns when they released publicly the names of these individuals. I was frankly disgusted by that. And the fact that in the post-mortem recognition of these people who were murdered, who now know the truth about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when they didn't, it seems, when they were, you know, no fruit of their life was indicating that. And yet the Colorado Springs Police Department was willing to enter into that lie and to have their names read along with pronouns he, him, pronouns she, her. That was a lie. And so this to me was just yet another step of accommodating a lie rather than simply doing their job as police officers and simply giving the names. And I don't care if somebody changes their name. That's not a lie to call somebody a different name, but it is a lie to say that their gender can be changed or that their pronouns reflect something other than the truth of their humanity.
I agree with that. You know, we're not called to be allies with Planned Parenthood, nor are we called to be allies with those who push the LGBTQ plus IA lifestyle. We're not called to be allies with them. We're called to win them to Christ. Paul talks about persuading men because he knew the terror of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is saying there clearly that some of you who are now washed and cleansed and Christ has forgiven you of your sins, you were in that lifestyle. So our message to the person who's in the homosexual lifestyle is that you need to be regenerated. You need to be washed. You need to be cleansed. And the reason why we push this and the reason why we say it, because we know that they will not inherit the kingdom of God, that after this life, they will experience and encounter hell's fire and damnation. Now, it's hard today to find a preacher who's willing to make that plain and to say that, because many of our preachers today sit in the seat of cowardice. We have too many wimps with squishy backs in the pulpit. They have large congregations. They have the influence. They have millions of followers on Facebook, on TikTok, and on Twitter. But when it comes to making the truth plain, they won't do it. They sit in the seat of neutrality. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that there comes a time when silence becomes betrayal. I can't betray my calling as a minister and try to get, you know, a little bit foggy on these issues. No, we need to be clear on these issues because we are damaging the lives of many children in this nation because we've convinced them that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. We've confused a man with a beer gut with his ability to get pregnant. Let me make this plain. Men do not have the capability of bringing forth a child. And it is a farce. It's a big lie. We are playing along in the big charade when we say that they can. I witnessed my wife give birth to all three of our children. And I left out of that room saying that this is a wonder woman. I don't want the ability to give life, to bring forth the child and to deliver a baby. I don't even want it. After seeing what she had to do and the strength and the courage and just the whole miraculous encounter of what God does through that, I don't want any parts of in it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to protect the honor and the sanctity of women who do. It's a big lie. Men need to stand up. Pastors need to stand up. We need the testosterone in our nation to stop being timid. So many men have been neutered by feminists, so much so that they are afraid to speak up. Listen, men, get your voice back and stand up for women and stand up for our families and make it clear that God's ordained system, according to Genesis 5 and 2, where he created us male and female, those are the only pronouns that they are. They claim that there are 72 different pronouns. No, those are lies. That's like, it's like Halloween. It's a costume. It's a mask. It's something that a person can dress up, but it's not true. I went to a restaurant last night with my family, and we walked in, and there were five young ladies at the front, you know, and then there was this one guy who was a transgender, and he had on, I mean, he had on a, he had on enough makeup for Macy's. Okay. He had on enough eyeliner and lip gloss, you know, for a MAC makeup stand. Okay. He was doing everything he possibly could to make himself a woman. But guess what? At the end of the day, he'll never be a female. I received the manager's phone number, and I'm going to contact him, and I'm going to tell him, so as long as you're participating in this big lie and my children have to be forced to see this mess, we are not coming to your restaurant. We'll stay home and pay a little bit less anyway, and we'll do that. But I think we need more people to speak up on these issues. We should love the baby in the womb. And we should love the life that's killed in the club, regardless of their sexual preference. But we should be able to point out and distinguish that when you kill a baby in the womb, that's murder. When you kill a person in the club, that's murder. But we should speak to these lifestyles as well, because they all lead to death.
So well said. And I applaud you for standing up. for the truth in that. And, you know, speaking to men as a man, I'm so grateful for the men like you that are saying that men need to stand up and protect women, and for the women who are listening, you know, that this is something that feminism has lied to us as women, to say that somehow we need to basically do the same thing that was original sin, right? When man wanted to be God and usurp his authority, that is the feminist movement today, is instead of women recognizing the God-ordained authority of the man in the home and the man in the church, women are trying to now usurp the authority of men. And it's not to say, and believe me, I mean, I have a very big national platform. I speak truth. I'm a minister of the gospel of Christ in the sense that I am a Christian and I'm called to testify to the truth, to speak truth, but I am not a pastor. I cannot be a husband or a father. Those are roles that God has given to men. And that will never, ever be the standpoint position of a woman. And for women to desire those positions is original sin, where we are trying to usurp the God-ordained authority structure in the home and in the church. And women are wrong for doing that. So as a woman, and with so many amazing men in my life, I have a pastor. I don't have a husband yet, but I have a father who speaks into my life as a mentor. And I have so many great men who I respect in my life that speak into my life, but especially with the pastor's positional authority in the church coming under that authority. It is a covering for women, not in a in a pious or a sort of, you know, we have to be doormat sense. People make this so extreme, and that's not true. But in terms of the positional authority in the church setting and in the home setting, that really matters. And women need to respect men in their life and the positional authority. And we need to, and submission, you know, is a really, I think, mischaracterized word for women who want to usurp that authority structure. We use the term submission to say, I don't want to be a doormat. I don't want to stand down. I can be just as strong. Well, you can, but that doesn't mean that you should. And submission in the context of the Bible is simply talking about recognizing legitimate authority. Just like we submit to our civil authorities, Romans 13 talks about that. That's the exact same word as women submitting to their husbands in the home. We are supposed to submit to legitimate authority. Now, when the authority is used in an illegitimate or evil way, we are not called to submit to that. My former client, Pastor John MacArthur, as the head of his church, did not submit to the usurping of legitimate authority and the misuse and the abuse of authority in the state of California. He did not submit to that, even though Romans 13 calls us to submit to the authorities. We don't submit to any authority when it goes directly against truth. So when we have civil authorities that are telling us to go against God himself and against the truth of the Bible, to have to stand up and say, oh yeah, we're going to participate in your big lie and your personal pronouns, we don't submit to that. We stand up firmly, but we do submit to the legitimate authorities and the authority structure that God has ordained. So feminism is totally wrong. We need to, as a church, submit to God's authority and do not, as you said, John, pastors need to stand up and not be these squishes that are willing to comply with these lies of personal pronouns and of, you know, and of woman face. As my good friend Matt Walsh at Daily Wire says, I mean, who ever thought that you become a woman simply by putting on makeup? I mean, that's insane. And that's just, as a woman, that is just as offensive to our gender and what it means to be a woman as it is for what the left calls out when people put on blackface. It's like, you know, just because you paint your skin a different color doesn't mean you become a different race. Well, just because you put on a bunch of makeup and a dress and a wig does not mean that you are a woman. And yet the left tries to parse that, and they say we have to be complicit.
Oh, that is so good and so rich. So much truth in those statements. You know, you were really referencing Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 25. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in the reverence of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But husbands, here it is, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so many would twist and contort this model of submission. No, just because the husband is the head doesn't mean that he bludgeons the wife and he controls her and tells us to go into a room and you stay in there and you can't come out. There are other faiths that do that, not Christianity. Christianity liberates the woman. However, the man should be willing, the husband should be willing to even give his life for his spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, the duality of submission, that is critical, but the husband should be willing to lay down his own life for that woman and for his family. That doesn't seem like a negative or a condescending form of submission. I must be willing to give all, to risk all for my wife. And the beauty of it is that God's system always works. What we're seeing in society today is a makeshift restructuring of the family. And it's driving many people to be filled with suicidal thoughts and depression. Those who are in the transgender community, they represent the two-spirited community. If it's a man, he has a spirit in him that says he's a male. But there's also a negative spirit that says that he's a female. And we take that individual, say he's 15, we take them down to a doctor and we pump him with hormones and we use puberty blockers and we use different medicines to cause that person to transition into something that they're not. And when that person turns 18, they come to their senses because the dominant spirit rises up, the masculinity in that man, and it's too late. They've mutilated themselves. It's child abuse, what's taking place. And who would ever thought that we would get to the place where these things are being pushed, they're being supported, and we're creating bills, and we're arguing about these things. And there's nothing family friendly about a transgender or a drag queen dressed up parading in front of children. That's not family, and that's not friendly. God's system is right. It's God, the husband, the wife, and the children. That's what works.
That is what works. And for people who say, I'm so depressed and I'm so frustrated, I'm dealing with so many things, and they turn to these secular solutions to try to fill that void. The Bible talks about how we are made to desire a relationship with God, and yes, that void, yes, that, yes, they are hoping to fill by earthly distortions and pleasures and drugs or alcohol or sex or a sex change or whatever it is, that will never, ever be a replacement for a relationship with God, our Creator. And that is the truth. And you are so right that there is nothing family or friendly about any of these events, any of these narratives, any of these surgeries. And I just fear for our culture that in the years to come, we are going to reap the incredibly tragic consequences that we're already seeing of some of these young people who at 12, 13, 14, 15 had these radical life-altering body mutilating surgeries that have now come out of that. They're saying, why on earth did anyone let me do that at such a young age when I didn't know? And we are going to, as the church, have to deal with that. And I hope that pastors will not farm out those individuals to the secular psychiatrists and psychologists. We as the church need to meet people where they're at and in those tragedies and say, your life still has just as much value, and you can, yes, overcome anything with the truth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and give them hope instead of saying, yeah, sorry, you're damaged, or, you know, yeah, or all of these other lies. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. Oh, no, that's good. That's good. I tell you what, we need more conversations like this, right? Mm-hmm. Real wholesome conversations about the culture that's based and steeped in absolute truth, right? Our morality the moral compass that we have doesn't come from ourselves. It doesn't come from our flesh. It doesn't come inwardly, but it comes from the Word of God. That's the basis for absolute truth. But we have a culture today that listens to Oprah Winfrey, who says that you should tell your own truth. You know, I have my truth. You have your truth. But there can only be one truth. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Truth comes from God. Pilate asked the question. He said, what is truth? Jesus never had to answer it because he had already displayed what truth was. And so the truth comes from the Word of God. And that's where there's an attack on Christianity. And that's why those in Colorado are labeling the Christians as being the sinister people. Why? Because there's an attack on Christianity. The basis of moral truth comes from God.
Yeah. And it's so true that, you know, the lies of the devil and of sin, Satan doesn't care which lie you buy into. He just cares that you don't buy into the truth of Christianity. And that's why you see any other lifestyle besides Christian truth that's affirmed, it's accepted, it's lauded as heroic to the left and to the people who hate the truth. And anything else besides living as a Christian and testifying to the truth is accepted in culture. And that should tell us something, because the Bible also says that we need to fear God and that we need to fear him who can ultimately have the life or death over the soul instead of anyone who can kill the body. And so while it was so despicable and horrendous what happened in Colorado Springs, what has happened in churches, what happens at grocery stores, I mean, you know, no matter the context of murdering a human being, that is tragic. But even more tragic than untimely death is that the five people who were killed in the nightclub that night, there is no evidence at all that they were Christians. And so assuming that they were not, that they had not accepted the truth of the gospel of Christ and affirmed Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, they are now reaping the consequences of having eternal damnation. And that is far, far greater. And we should be having that conversation instead of just the tragedy of what happened to the body. We need to be talking about what happened to the soul and the fact that they are now in eternal separation from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that conversation is what should happen. And that is what people should fear genuinely, not what anyone can do to the body, but ultimately what happens to us in eternity.
Yes. And see, I love that. So well placed. We're in it for the souls. You know, the Bible says that God is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Long suffering is tantamount to a candlestick. You know, a candle gives off light for a certain number of hours. But when the wick is gone, then the candle can no longer be lit. And so God is patient with all mankind. We all represent a candlestick. But there comes a point when the wick goes out and the light can no longer be relit. So therefore, there's an expiration to our lives, and we must encounter Christ and give our life to him while we still have a wick, while we still have time. But those who were in that club, they missed that opportunity. Mm-hmm. We're in this for souls. We want people to meet Jesus Christ. We're approaching Thanksgiving, and then we're going into the Christmas season. We know that consumerism will dominate the television screens, and we will hear people talking about buying this and buying that. We're getting ready to embark upon the most wonderful time of the year, and that's the birth of Jesus Christ. And the reason why this segment is so influential is because we're not castigating anyone. We love all lives, but we want people to come to the realization that a life apart from Christ is a life that is doomed, regardless of your lifestyle. Hey, to the left, for those of you who support abortion, but you love the LGBTQ agenda, maybe that child could be a potential lesbian, or gay person. Do you support it now? You know, it's so crazy. When you think about the mindset of those who support these things, it really doesn't make sense. You know, sin leaves you in a debased state where there's no longer a foundation for right and wrong and truth. And many are in that place today. I hope and pray that those who listen to this segment will see that the only hope for mankind is found in Jesus Christ. The only hope for America is found in God's word. As we even think about the midterm elections and how Gen Z voted, we don't simply need to win the next election. We need to bring revival to America. We don't need to turn America red or blue. We need to turn it back to God. That's where we are today, because lives are being destroyed because of the lies that have been told. And our hope is that mankind will come to the realization that God's way is the prominent way, it's the clean way, and it's the prosperous way.
So well said, my friend. And so for everyone listening, I hope that this encourages you to stand up, be bold in speaking the truth and fulfilling the Great Commission. And because God is still changing hearts and minds, He is still calling those to Himself, and He is still saving souls. And that is why we still have time. And so for the people who may have been in the lives of those five individuals, the nightclub, take every opportunity you can to speak truth, because you never know how much time is left for you or for a friend to come into the saving knowledge of Christ. And if we care about the culture, if we care about politics, if we care about the church, any of these things, we care as Christians only because ultimately we care about spending eternity with our Lord and Savior and taking as many people with us as possible. So I hope we never lose sight of the Great Commission and the ultimate purpose of why we do anything that we do, why we have the family structure, which is the best design to raise a child and train him up in the way he should go, so that when he's older, he won't depart from it, as Proverbs says, so that parents can instill the truth into their children, so that the church has the best context to help the family thrive, and that civil society needs to give the best and most freedom for the church and for the family to continue to make sure that they are teaching truth of our Lord and Savior. So never, ever, ever forget that the reason that we do any of this, that we are so often as conservatives myopically focused just on the political narrative and who we're voting for. Don't forget that the only reason that that ultimately matters is so that we can continue to boldly speak truth and fulfill the Great Commission. So closing thoughts, John, and I so appreciate that you are willing to stand up for truth and have these conversations. And I love that you said, you know, this isn't controversial for us who understand the truth and know why it's so important. I don't care about the names or the labels, because I know that at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is my Lord and Savior, and He is the only one that I fear.
Yes, yes. I love that. I'll say to you, I pray that you get to the number one spot on Salem. But you can't surpass Charlie Kirk. You have to tie him, because I'm a contributor with Turning Point Faith.
Excellent. Love that action point.
And so I want to keep my job. However, this has been a wonderful time of talking about these real cultural issues that we've seen on the ballot, that we will continue to see debated in the public square. We need the church to engage. We need pastors to be bold and vigilant. The time of sitting in the seat of neutrality must end. We must pick a side, whether you're on God's side or whether you support the world, and whether you support what the left seeks to push. I'll make it plain, because there's only one party who is pushing these things politically. You can even see that from the people that President Joe Biden has hired to lead the Department of Health and Human Services. When you look at it, you say to yourselves, man, where are we going and what are we doing? But the Bible is clear. We are told that in the last days that perilous times would come and men would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Self-love leads to narcissism. But denying yourself leads to humility. We need to be humbled. And my prayer is that God would do that for us before his judgment comes. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Amen and amen. And we either stand for truth or we will fall, and not just fall for lies or fall for anything, just plain fall. So stand up with us today for truth. Be encouraged. God is still on his throne. And, you know, in the last days, we were told trials and tribulations would come. We should not be surprised. Jesus told us, do not be surprised when people hate you, when they call you all kinds of names. He predicted all of this. Read the New Testament, be daily in the word, so that when you see all of these signs in the culture and in the world around you, you are not shocked. You are not surprised. You will simply meet it with a firm reliance on the truth. So Pastor John Amanchukwu, really appreciate it, my friend. Everyone should go and follow him on social media at Turning Point Faith. Love my good friend, Charlie Kirk. Thanks so much for joining me today on the Jenna Ellis Show. Have a great Thanksgiving week, and I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.